This all started back in November, and I was thinking about the 12 spies that Moses sent into the Promised Land. And it's fascinating. I think we probably all know the story, but 12 spies went out, they came back, and two of them said, well, the Lord's given us this land, let's go take it, it's ours. Right? Well, the other 10 said, no, those guys, they're really big and they look mean, and I don't think we can do this. We look like grasshoppers to them, right? And they spread that word among the Israelites, and Moses, who evidently was a bit of a politician, went along with the 10 who said that they couldn't take over the Promised Land that the Lord was giving them. And they wandered in the desert for 40 years. What occurred to me was that so often that message applies to us. And I'll explain why in our two key verses for this morning. And that, because I think so many of us, we miss out on what the Lord has for us because we believe the 10 spies who say that we can't take what the Lord has for us. So let's do a little exploration. This morning, we're going to have two anchor verses. The first one is in Numbers 13, 27 through 33. Everybody bring their Bible? Yes. Can I see them? Hold up your app if you're using an app. Yes, thank you. Okay. I can't wait till the app sounds like pages turning. I think we could sell that one. Okay, let's start with the 12 spies. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak came from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. Scary story that they spread among the Israelites. And the Israelites believed them. Now here's one of my favorite verses. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, this verse tells me that God has us, before we're born, on his workbench. And at that time, he has good works that he has planned for us to do. Works that are already accomplished, and he's going to put in us what we need to do those works. So my question is, do we want to be like the 10 or the 2? Right? Now, anytime the Lord gives a topic like this, I have to ask myself, what's God's purpose for this message? And I think his purpose is from John 8:12. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You don't need to be too familiar with the news today to know that this is a pretty dark world.
Amen.
All right, and it seems like it's getting darker by the day. But the truth is that the darker the world is, the more the light shines. We're to be that light in the world. Now, I have to ask a question. Is Jesus just your Savior, or is he Lord too? There's a difference. You can claim as your Savior, saying, hey, I'm a sinner, I need the Lord, and that I need His grace, I need His forgiveness, but not be obedient. If He's your Lord, that means when He tells you something, gives you a task, gives you a job, you're going to go about doing it. So I have three goals for the message this morning. I hope when we're through that you would have these three prayers on your heart daily. First, how would you use me today, Lord? Starting your day, Lord, how would you use me today? What would you have me do for you, Lord? Secondly, Lord, when you give me something to do, help me to be obedient. And three, afterwards, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to co-labor with you. And I'll have more to say about co-labor in a little bit. Now, we're going to cover two stories today. First, the story of the Israelites as they go from Egypt into the Promised Land. And here's the quick summary version, right? God promises Abram the land back in Genesis. Moses leads the Hebrews out of Egypt. Right? Parting of the Red Sea, all of that. The spies say there are giants in the land. The Hebrews spend 40 years in the desert. And eventually Joshua, not Moses, leads them into the Promised Land. I'm also going to tell you a co-laboring experience I had with the Lord, with a number of men, called Holy Smoke Barbecue. And in the nutshell, right, God gave a group of us a heart for foster kids. Right? He did what I'll call a backpack work, and I'll explain that a little later on. He leads us to open up Holy Smoke Barbecue, and He blesses the kids and the men of the barbecue. Okay. Now, why is it called the Promised Land? Well, because God promised it to Abraham. Actually, Abram at the time. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. Right. Now, the first thing we need to note is when God makes a promise, it's already done. We may not have seen it yet, but it is already done. Right. In Genesis 15, all right, here's what it says. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants I give this land from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. An awful lot of ites. Yeah, I know, and even the termites, I know. I know. Now, we don't use the word covenant much today, okay? But a covenant is like a contract, okay? Now, a contract is only as good as the two parties making the contract. You know, recently, you know, Brett put in a new air conditioner in our house, and there was a sales agreement, which is a contract. He made a promise to do certain things. We made a promise to do certain things back to him. But this only as good as our promise and our ability to perform to our promise, right? Now, with God, when He makes a promise, He doesn't lie. He doesn't fail on His promises. You will never have a promise from God that He does not perform. That will not happen, right? Also, when the Lord gives you an instruction, it's the same as a promise. When the Lord tells you to do something, He's promising to give you the resources to accomplish what He's told you to do. He's not going to set you up for failure. Whoops. This is what the Lord said to Joshua, right? After Moses died and they wandered in the desert 40 years. My servant Moses is dead, and now rise up, cross over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given it to you, as I spoke to Moses. All right? Here, God, he gives an instruction. Now rise up. It's an instruction what Joshua is to do. And he says, I have given it to you. It is already done. In God's eyes, it is completed, even though they haven't set foot on the other side of the Jordan. Now, the Lord wants us to co-labor with him. Well, why would that be? Right? God can do whatever he wants. Right? He created a whole universe. It's not like he needs my help to do anything. He doesn't need your help to do anything. Why would he want to co-labor with us? Well, think about it. Annette, if you've been in the military, especially under combat, or a hard work situation, or a hard family situation, you build relationship with the people that you go through these events with. God wants us to co-labor with him because he wants us to have a relationship with him. When we're obedient to what he tells us to do, and we do it, we have that shared experience. We know more about him. We build our relationship with him. Right? And I'm absolutely convinced God created us to have a relationship with us. And we build up that relationship by co-laboring with him. Look at Exodus 3. Right? Now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. He's telling Moses, I want you to co-labor with me. Right? I'm going to send the Israelites out of Egypt, but I want you to go to Pharaoh. Co-labor with me. Click. There we go. Oops. You know, I look at this, and this is why I ask, you know, do you want all that the Lord has for you this year? Right? The opportunity to co-labor with the Lord is a blessing. It's absolutely a blessing. Whoops. Here we go. Holy Smoke started on a Sunday morning. At the time, I was at a Baptist church. Forgive the cough, I'm still getting over this cold. And we had a men's Bible study at 9 o'clock before the 11 o'clock service. And one Sunday morning, forgive me. Mary Kate, if you're going for water, I already have it. Thank you. She cares for me. A loving wife. Anyway, it was a Sunday morning, right? And one of the guys came in. Oh, we are way off track here. This thing jumped a whole bunch here. Here we go. Okay. One Sunday morning, one of the guys, Stephen, came in, right? And he told us a story that kind of broke up our heart. Right? He told us that the police came to arrest some folks, and they had a child. And they were going to need to take the child to foster care. Well, their child didn't have any suitcases or anything, so they took the child's possessions, their clothes, their toys, and tossed them in a green garbage bag to take them to the foster home. And think of what does that say to a kid, right? Not only are we taking your parents, and no matter how bad the parents are, that's telling the kid that you're trash. And I'm tearing up now just thinking about it. Right? Well, it was funny. This was in the beginning of May. Right? And the church, it worked on a fiscal. So the money, our budget for the year, ran out at the end of June. We still had some money left. We had a barbecue, like a grill like we have here. Right? And we thought, well, wait a second. How about if on Father's Day we do a bunch of hamburgers, right? Tell people, we're going to feed you for free, but you bring backpacks. You bring a Father's Day gift for our Father in heaven. Bring a backpack, and we'll give it to the kids. And because I'm a car guy, and a lot of guys are, we decided to do a car show the same day. And there's an extra added attraction. Anyway, and that, so we did, right? And that day, we raised, we brought in 97 backpacks and raised about $200 to buy more and turned it all over to Child Protective Services. But that was just the beginning. Right? Now, if you ask the Lord, He will give you an assignment. Remember the first goal? Lord, what would you have me do today? He will give you an assignment if you ask Him. Right? The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So that at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. So the Lord gave Moses an assignment. And Moses started well because He sent them, right? Now, we have a choice. When the Lord gives us an assignment, we can choose to do it. We can choose to ignore it. Now, I confess to you, I haven't always been obedient. And I suspect probably no one else here has been obedient 100% of the time, too. Maybe we need to commit to being better this new year as the Lord gives us assignments. Now, holy smoke, after that Father's Day event, we just felt led that we should do a weekly barbecue. Right? We should do this on a weekly basis. Right? Early on, we started saying, you know, you put men, meat, fire, and Jesus together, something interesting will happen. Whoops. Oh, come on. Machine, work with me. Now, I can tell you, when the Lord gives you a task, you're often going to feel that you're not up to the task. That you just simply can't do it. It's above my pay grade. Right? I'm not capable of doing it. Right? I love this passage. I truly do. Right? Lord tells Moses that He wants him to go speak to Pharaoh. Moses, being the humble man he is, says to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. But Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and He said, what about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. Yeah. I love this. Moses tells the Lord, I'm not up to the job. God says, I'll be your co-pilot. I will help you do this. And Moses goes, nah, I don't think that's enough. I still feel inadequate. Have somebody else do it. So God doesn't override Moses. He gives him his brother Aaron. Right now, we all know the story of Aaron. Right? Think about it, right? Aaron goes with Moses to speak to Pharaoh. Well, all the Israelites see Moses and Aaron side by side. So they start putting a lot of credit in Aaron. Now, what happens after they cross the Red Sea? Moses goes to get the Ten Commandments, and while he's getting the Ten Commandments, Aaron is putting together a block party and creating a golden calf. Hello? I mean, does that strike you as stupid? It is, right? Now, I don't know how it would have played out had Moses told the Lord, okay, I will walk with you. I don't need Aaron. Would Aaron not have had the standing among the Israelites? Would they not have made the golden calf? I don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us. But I think we can look at it. When we don't trust the Lord, we'll miss out on blessings, and we're going to cause ourselves problems. Now, when we started Holy Smoke, we don't have the resources. We don't have a smoker. We don't have a chef. We don't have a single recipe. And we don't have an approved kitchen. Now, here's a great business plan. So did we feel inadequate? You can bet. Now, something else I've noticed is that the devil will create obstacles in your way. Yeah, I hear people going, yeah, and you've been there. But the Lord will use those obstacles. A perfect example is what happens with Moses and the Pharaoh. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness. But Pharaoh said, who is this Lord that I should obey and let Israel go? Well, I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. In Exodus 6, one chapter later, then the Lord says to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of this country. The enemy will set up obstacles, but the Lord will use those obstacles. He will overcome those obstacles for us. And our trust needs to be in the Lord, not in ourselves. When we started Holy Smoke, we found out that it's one thing. The church had a fellowship hall with it was like a commercial kitchen. We had a 6-burner gas stove and that a couple of convection ovens, a commercial freezer, refrigerator, and that. But we didn't have any county approval. You see, a church, you can feed your own congregation because they're invited guests. You can take an offering for the food that you feed them. But if you want to invite the public in and charge them, now you're a restaurant. So I went to the county, and the book, I forget, it was like 40 or 50 pages. Mm-hmm. And I looked, I go, oh my goodness, this is not going to happen. Now, I'm not saying that the county is possessed by the devil. I'm not saying that. But they did put up some obstacles. We did preparation, right? Thought we were ready for the inspection. The inspector came and said, no, you're not. I'm kind of frustrated at this point. One of the assistant pastors and I went, and we prayed over the building. Here's how the Lord overcame the obstacle. That day for the second inspection, one of the guys, Ralph, he was a retired deputy, also a retired salesman. And Ralph was mid-70s at the time, a widower. And Ralph kind of liked the ladies. He was a schmoozer, to be honest. So the inspector comes. She's in her mid-50s, right? She starts talking to him. Oh, you lived in Pittsburgh for a while? Oh, so did I, right? She's flirting with him. He's flirting with her. She kind of glances at the kitchen, and we're approved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Ralph stories go on and on. Trust me. Now, something else that we need to know. When the Lord asks you to do something for him, he will not force you. Right? The Lord gives us free will. He's not going to force us. All right, Numbers 14, it says, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. In this wilderness, your bodies will fall. Every one of you 20 years old or more who is counted in the census and who has grumbled against me, not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. These are the two spies that said, go. As for your children that you said would be taken as plunder, I will bring them to enjoy the land you have rejected. But as for you, your bodies will fall in this wilderness. While they were out in the wilderness, right, Lord, we're tired of this manna. Every day, manna, manna, manna. We're tired of this. We're going to die out here. Why didn't you just leave us in Egypt? He says, you don't want to go into the promised land? You're not going. All right. The Lord won't force us to join him. He will allow us to miss the blessing that he has for us. And he'll fulfill his word without us. Something else I've noticed is that there will always be people to say it can't be done.
Amen to that.
And sometimes it'll be you. Click, click. Oh, come now. There we go. All right. This is the same basic passage. Right? The spies go in. 10 of them came back and said, it can't be done. There will always be those who say that you can't do it, no matter what it is. Now, you ask yourself your question, well, are the people that say it can't be done, are they right or wrong? Yeah, they're both, it's both true. They're right in that by yourself, well, you can't do it. They're right. But with the Lord's help, they're wrong. You can do it. You're not laboring alone. You're co-laboring. All right. And why is that? I think it's so only God gets the glory. Only God gets the glory. When we set out to do the initial first Father's Day barbecue, it was about 2 weeks before the barbecue, and Tom comes to me and he says, I think we ought to try to get some publicity in the paper. Yeah. At this time, right, I'm running an internet publishing company, right? I've been interviewed by dozens of newspapers, did a video on PBS's Nightly Business Report. So I know the media. This is what I do, right? Tom is an auto parts guy. He works at Advanced Auto, selling carburetors and air filters. What does he know about the media and the newspapers? And I'm thinking to myself, it ain't never going to happen. They're going to cover this little event. But Tom said the Lord told him to do it. So, Gary, the Lord told you to do it. Go for it. I'll watch you. You know, I didn't say this, but I'm thinking, I'll watch you fail. I'm sorry. I'm telling you the truth. It's confession time. So what happens? Now, he contacts the paper. And what I'd forgotten was that at that time there were two sections of the Bradenton Herald. On Saturday, on the front of the second section, they had a religion article. They came, interviewed our senior pastor, who happened to be a biker. I think you can call your pastor a biker. Anyway, he had a hot motorcycle, and which actually ended up bringing into the sanctuary for the day of the barbecue. And that, right, they do a whole big write-up on it. Can't be done. Excuse me, Lord, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Right. Now, we need to remember that God is not powerless if we don't listen and obey. Right. He doesn't need us to do anything. He can do it without us. And that. So don't ever get it in your mind that if you don't do it, it won't be done. Okay? Often, people, they're concerned about a loved one or something. And it's like, well, if I don't do it, it won't happen. It's on me. You're being self-centered, and you're forgetting the Lord is the one that has the power. Now, can he use you? Of course he can use you. Okay, now, there's a flip side to this, though. Right? Have you ever had the case where you don't think a task is too big? It's too small. It's not important. The Lord told me to go speak to this guy in Wawa. What's going to happen? Big deal. I should speak to this guy at Wawa. What difference does it make? Right? You know, it's no big deal. If I ignore the Lord here, it's no big deal. Nothing happens. Nothing has changed. Wrong. Thank you. In Joshua 6, right, I won't read the whole page. Well, yeah, I will. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. Jericho was the first city they were going to attack after they entered the Promised Land. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and his fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in." Think about this for a second. Joshua is planning on, he's trying to invade Jericho. Walled city. Thick walls. They have an army inside. He's planning this out. He's got his army there and he's thinking to himself, how are we going to take this city? Lord tells him, march around the city. Now, if I'm Joshua, I'm telling my guys, no, sharpen your sabers, right? You know, work your spears. You know, let's plan our strategy. Are we coming from the east? Are we coming from the west? How are we doing this? If I'm Joshua, I have to think, come on, march around the city, that can't be important. And yet, that was the absolute key. Right? When the Lord tells us, we don't often understand, you know, there's times when we don't understand why. Right? But we're wise to obey his instruction, no matter what it is. Now, I've noticed that we tend to wander away from or amend what the Lord has said, what he has told us to do. But the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Now, Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up to and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the army will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it. So about 3,000 went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai. At this, the hearts of the people melted in fear and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down on the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. And Joshua said, alas, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Think about this, right? The Lord just did a miracle in Jericho, right? The people, these soldiers, they get a little prideful, and they go, the next city, we got this. We don't need God to help us. We don't need no God to help us take this city, right? We'll do it with half our army. And what happens, right? They wandered from the Lord's plan. And the Lord's plan was for them to ask him what to do before they did it. And the funny thing is after we wander off and things go bad, we blame God. Hello? Well, holy smoke was no brighter. We started out with a fairly simple menu. pulled pork, baby back ribs, chicken, hamburgers, hot dogs, baked beans, packaged chips, coleslaw, and sodas. Good menu, right? And we're getting to the point on Friday afternoons. We've got people lined up waiting to get in at 4:30. Things are going well. Started getting a little bit out of line, though. So you see, first, one of our main chef, cook, he's not a chef, he's a guy. Actually, he's a boat captain. Loves to cook, and he takes it seriously. Well, one Friday I come in, and he's making Brunswick stew. It's an old family recipe. And it's good, but it's got like 14 ingredients in it. Then we started making peach cobbler. And this peach cobbler, oh, it was tasty. Trust me, it was tasty. Of course, now if you have peach cobbler, you have to have ice cream on it. But you can't just have Walmart or Publix ice cream. You have to have the premium Bluebell ice cream on. Well, what happened? Before long, all of this craziness with the menu, we'd wandered off what the Lord told us to do, which was raise money for foster kids. We were eating all of our profits up in that with this fancy menu. We were proving that we were the best barbecue place in town. We weren't doing what the Lord told us to do. We need to know at the beginning, when the Lord asks us to do something, that the Lord never fails. He will not fail. Right? After they conquer the promised land, right? This is what it says in Joshua 21. So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their ancestors. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hands. Not one of the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. Think about that. The Lord gave the land. Yes, Israel's armies went in and took it. But it was because the Lord gave it to them. Right? None of the enemies against the Lord can stand. If the Lord is moving, nothing, no one, no enemy, no spirit can stand against the Lord. Period. And the Lord's promises are good. Right? Now, the Lord told us to do this barbecue for foster kids. And we did it for about 2.5 years before the, every Friday night from 4:30 to 7:30. And most nights in those 3 hours, we sold over $2,000 worth of barbecue. Some nights, on a good night, we would sell over $3,000, which for, you know, a group too, and that, we never, you know, it's all volunteers, just guys from the men's ministry. We never knew who was going to be able to show up on Friday nights. Right? Now, one of the things the Lord did, though, that I loved, because I got to be blessed by it personally, was that not only did we raise money for the foster kids, which baffled the county. They didn't quite know what to do with that. All right, they were just kind of, you know, they'd never seen it before. But if we had enough help in that where I wasn't in the kitchen, I got to work what we called the front of the house. I got to work out among the tables like a server. Right? And I would bus tables. I would bring people napkins, whatever they needed. But I got to talk to them. And the most common question was, why are you guys doing this? You raising money for the church? No, not a dollar goes to the church. Well, you're raising money for your men's ministry. No, we're not raising money for the men's ministry. We're raising money for foster kids. And I got to tell them the story. Right. Now, you can be an atheist. You can believe that Christians only want you here in that for the money in the tithe box. for the offering. They can believe that. It's hard to deny that story, because I would tell them, Jesus tells us, what you do for the least of these is as if you do it for me. This is our way of fulfilling that. You can be an atheist. You can't argue with that. I don't know if it changed hearts. Only the Lord knows. Now, it's estimated that there were 600,000 Jews that left Egypt. Right? How many of you think entered the Promised Land? Two. The two spies that said, let's take it. They were the only two that benefited from the promise of God because they believed him and they were willing to move out and do what he said. The others did not have the best that God had for them. They missed it. God had something wonderful for them and they missed it. That's heartbreaking, isn't it? Right now, some people say, well, wait a second. God punished the people? They questioned, they believed the 10 spies, and so God punished them by leaving them out in the wilderness after 40 years? Is that right? God doesn't. We think of it as punishment sometimes. I think God is protecting and correcting his children. Not those who don't know him, but his children, right? You know, what does Scripture say? A good parent raises up a child in the way they should go. Right? He corrects them. He doesn't spare the rod, spoil the child. Right? Well, as the father, you know, what is the song that we sing sometimes? You're a good, good father? God corrects us in that. You know, the example I use is you wouldn't hand a 14-year-old without a driver's license the keys to a new Corvette with 700 horsepower. Because you know what's going to happen here. It's going to be a disaster. He's going to kill himself. Right? You know, I think too many people, especially non-believers, sometimes believers, think the Ten Commandments are things to take fun away from us. And no, they're guardrails to keep us from hurting ourselves and hurting those around us. And that the Lord is protecting us. Okay, so how do we do? How do we do? There we go. How did we do against the goals? Tomorrow, when you start your day, you ask the Lord to use you? Will you ask him to help you to be obedient, to do what he has for you? And if you do, will you thank him for the opportunity to co-labor? Now, Pastor Darren mentioned that I felt that this was appropriate for this Sunday. You see, the Lord started giving me this message in early November. We knew at that point we were going to do Experiencing God sometime this spring. We didn't know when. I think this message is a direct correlation to experiencing God. It's a direct correlation to experiencing God. There's a whole lot more detail that they can do in 13 weeks than I can do in 50 minutes. Yeah, 47 minutes. I want for all of us what the Lord has for us. I have plans for you, good and not for evil. Right? The Lord is laying it out. He's making promises, and he's calling you to do things to reach out and take his promises. Accept them. Will there be obstacles? Yeah, there'll be obstacles. Will you question your ability to do it? Yeah, you'll question your ability to do it. But God is faithful. He will co-labor with you, allow you to build that relationship with him, and that as you co-labor and work and see the blessings. So my question for you is, what will your prayer be tomorrow? What will your prayer be tomorrow?
Hey, Pastor Gary, before you close us out in prayer, can I say one
thing? Yes, take the microphone.
Thanks.
So first, I would just like to say that's a wonderful message, and definitely was led of the Lord. So praise God. So, Lord, help me do all these. So I felt like the Lord would specifically want me up here. So what I'm doing is I'm praying and asking Him so that I would only say that which He would have me to say. So one of the things, some of you might be being challenged right now. First off, maybe you don't hear from the Lord as much. And then you have to ask yourself, you know what? Is there too much of what I want going on in my life and in my heart and not enough what the Lord wants? And then some of you are hearing from the Lord and you're like, wow, experiencing God, for example, or a Conqueror series, for example. Wow, that experiencing God, that's 14 weeks, right? Isn't it, if I remember correctly?
Yeah.
And that's an hour of homework each night? I can't do that. reading, whatever. What are the obstacles that you're coming up with in your mind? What are the excuses that you're coming up with in your mind? Well, I can't do it. I got things to do, timing, but I got this, that. You know what? You need to ask, Lord, what are you calling me to do? And if He is calling you to do it, don't miss out on what He's had for you. The Lord reminded me of something in a very unique way. Even the last time we did Experiencing God, honestly, the biggest miracle is that God opens up hearts and eyes as we go through this course, for example. But even last time, we actually just, God completely healed a person. They don't go to our church. They just came in for the experience. Totally, completely healed. Had an eye disease. Just healed them right there on the spot. They were bawling in tears. It was supernatural, miraculous. God still does miracles if you're a doubter. We saw that happen. Somebody came, and I actually forgot about that. God told me to mention that a week or so ago, and I forgot. And then somebody came up to me this morning and just said, you know what? God just completely healed my ears right now, right as, I don't know if it was during the announcements or the worship time or the prayer time, completely healed me. Right here, right now. It was amazing. And the Lord brought to mind, So here's what the Lord may be saying. God wants to open your eyes. He wants to open your ears. And as Pastor Gary is saying, He wants to open your hearts. And maybe even some of taking these courses, when you go through these struggles together, when you go through these Bible studies together, when even starting this whole church or starting the school or all these things, or working in a ministry here. I can't do it, Lord. But when you do it anyway, God brings us together in Him and fuses us together and makes us stronger as a body and stronger and closer to Him. And I just want to encourage you, don't miss out on the miracle that God wants to do in you and through you. In Jesus' name. Yes, Don, do you have something you want to say? Yes. I would absolutely do that, yeah. And then, Pastor Gary, I'll leave it over. You can close this out. Is that okay?
Before you do the prayer, this is Joshua 5:6. Right? The Israelites had moved about in the desert 40 years until all the men who were military age when they left Egypt had died, since they had not obeyed the Lord. For the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land that He had solemnly promised their fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So He raised up their sons in their place, and these were the ones Joshua circumcised. They were still uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. And after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. This is right before they went to enter the promised land. And the point is that circumcision is a sign of cutting away the earthly flesh. Right? It's a spiritual dedication. And that the Lord wanted these people to be spiritually ready to enter And I think that's the heart that you're talking about, and that Lord wants our hearts to be right as we go in to Experiencing God or Conquer yes. series or the men's Bible study, yes. whosoever's to school.
Yes.
That's the Lord wants our hearts to be right. Anyway, so yeah.
You want I'll pray for the school, and then do you want to close this out?
Well, Daryl, did you have something that you wanted to share, or what? You want the microphone?
Yes, please. This is something I want to share. Happened to Betty and I. That kind of goes along with what you were teaching today.
A couple of weeks ago, Betty and I were coming back from a doctor's appointment, and we decided that be a good time to stop off and go to breakfast. We were coming back on 44th Street, and at the intersection of 44th and 301, we were going to make a right-hand turn there to go to Katie's up there for breakfast. And we were making the right-hand turn on the green light, and a flatbed truck was coming from the opposite side running the red light. And on the flatbed truck, about the size of a bus, I guess, he had some heavy drilling equipment, big old drill bits, tied down on the back of the truck. Well, apparently, one of those drill bits was not tied down. It was about the size of a compact car. And we were making the turn. Green light, and the flatbed truck, he came running through that light so fast that that small drill bit about the size of a compact car rolled off. It wasn't tied down. And it just missed us by seconds. It scared both Betty and I to death, basically. If that had caught our car, I'm sure that either one or both of us probably wouldn't be here today. This goes along with what Gary was teaching. You never know when God is going to do something to get your attention, whether it's to protect you or to wake you up, stir you, but it definitely got our attention. We just basically escaped what could have been who knows what, but I am grateful that God was there that day. And I just wanted to share that with everybody, because you just never know when the Lord's gonna be there for you.
Excellent. You want to pray for the school and I'll close?
Yes. Father, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for just each and every person here. Lord, I want to say thank you for all the young people, Lord God, even for the school, Shepherd's Heart Christian School starting back up, for the teachers, for the parents, for the kids. Lord, we pray for your blessing upon them, that you would continue to lead them, Lord God. I thank you that it is overwhelming at times, Lord God, but you are always right there in the midst, Lord, leading and providing step by step all the way, Lord, like you do with the church, Lord, like you do with the school, like you do with the youth group, the men's group, the women's group, everything, Lord. We're reliant, a people reliant on you, and you come through. We pray for your blessing, Lord God, and your provision in every way, your leading in every way, Lord God, to help those kids and to help each family, Lord. Work in them and through them, Lord God. Work in and through us to be able to help them more. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, and Pastor Gary closes.
Father, we thank you that you want to have a relationship with us, and that you choose to let us be your second and serve with you, Lord, that you call us to do that, Lord, and that when you call us, we are assured of success in that. We don't often understand the methods, Lord. We sometimes don't know the resources that you bring. But we know that if your plan is for good, Lord, and so that we can trust you, we can be confident in following you. And so, Lord, I ask that you touch each and every heart here, Lord. Cause us to see where you would have us to serve, be obedient to your instruction, and then thank you for the opportunity to have all the blessings that you've planned for us. And we thank you in the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Have a great week, everyone. Amen.